Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. We got two games to go in the regular season, and we're back from our Christmas break. Patrick Allen, along with Matt Verderam. Verderam, how you doing, man? How was your Christmas?
It's good. It's good. Busy. We had a ton of people over on the 23rd, and then I worked the 24th, and then we went to my in-laws the 25th. So busy. I got fatter.
Yeah.
I'm happy about it. And yeah, I got the whole year to lose that 5 pounds that I can then gain back in 1 week next December.
Oh, I've gained at least 10 pounds, man. I've been going all in. I made a bunch of cookies. We haven't had any company yet. I've just been eating it all myself.
Nice.
So, you know, I made Buckeyes, and I made almost 100 of them. And I'm telling you, man, there's maybe 35 left. It's not good. It's a bad scene.
I literally just ate the last Buckeye we had like an hour ago. And my mother probably gave us 50 of them, and I probably ate 35 of them. So I don't care. I polished off a sheet of lasagna yesterday. We had some cheesy potatoes as a side. That's gone. I made crab dip with a bunch of cream cheese. Ate it all.
Oh, beautiful.
Only thing that saved me from gaining about 100 pounds is I've been going to the gym consistently. That's it. It's the only thing. But even that being said, you know, I don't know how you are. Like, this is probably a shameful thing to admit, but like, I'm sure a lot of people have like 10 different pairs of jeans. I have like two. Yeah. I just like, whatever. I hate wearing jeans. They're not comfortable to me. I will wear them if I have to, certainly in the winter. But I have one pair that it's kind of like a go-to pair. They're broken in, they're comfortable. And by the time we got to like Christmas, I went to put them on. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen.
Right.
The old trusty pulled through, and yeah. We made it. So
they got the stretch fabrics now. It's a whole new ball game for guys like that. Yeah,
thank God. Yeah. I was looking at those pants before I put them on. I'm like, all right, boys, one more ride,
and we made it.
We made it happen. So it was all good. And then I went to the in-laws and watched the Broncos give up 51 points to the Rams. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I'm proud of you. Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. We are brought to you by our friends at the Kansas City Beer Company. That's another thing I've been doing this holiday season is drinking lots of KC beer. I got the Schwartz beer here, Verder, and that we brought back when we were in Kansas City. This is the black lager, dude. This is outrageous. It's so good. It's not heavy like some people see a black beer and they're like, oh, it's gonna be too much. No, it's not. It's not like that at all. It's really delicious. Great flavor. Highly recommend. And you can help us out. A bunch of you guys, by the way, appreciate it from our last episode. I saw you wishing KC Beer Co. Merry Christmas on Twitter. If you missed that, helping us out by doing that, wish him a happy new year. Give him a shout out at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Wish him a happy new year. Tell him Arrowhead Addict sent you, and you can support the show that way. If you want to support another way, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button. Let's get some more Chiefs fans in here to talk ball with us. And of course, you can always consider becoming a member of the Arrowhead Addict family. Hang out with us in our Discord. We're in there talking about everything, food, gambling, how bad the Broncos stink, the MVP race, all that stuff. There's a link in the description if you're interested. And of course, thank you and shout out to all of our existing members. Many of you are here watching already, and you guys are amazing. Thank you. So Verderam, Broncos fans for Christmas, really Broncos fans and Raiders fans, they got some things for Christmas. Not all of them were good, but depending on your point of view, you know, maybe you're happy about some of these things. The Broncos, who the Chiefs are playing, and we're going to preview that game here in a little bit, filed Nathaniel Hackett, who joins Urban Meyer as one of the few coaches to get fired in their first season before it's even over. And the hell of it is, Hackett didn't even do anything completely crazy other than just be bad coach.
They're terrible coach. Yeah. It was funny when he got fired. I was thinking to myself, like, there have not been too many head coaches who have gotten fired in their first year. Like, and I started going through it in my head, and I'm like, and I was thinking back to like the 60s and 70s, trying to really go through the recesses of my mind. I was thinking about like Lou Holtz when he was a Jets coach, but he resigned. He didn't get fired. According to Field Yates of ESPN, Hackett's only the fifth guy ever to get fired during his first season. You mean coaches have been 100-plus years in the NFL? Like, that's damn near impossible. But it is what it is. Look, I just think if you're the Broncos at this point, and like you said, we'll get into this game here in a bit, I think the Broncos are just an absolute shell of themselves at this point. Like, I don't know, what is your motivation for this game?
Right.
Everybody's gone, like, in terms of the coaching staff. I mean, maybe bring back the D coordinator who's done a great job. But I don't know if he's coming. Like, does he want to come back?
And you're going to have a new regime coming in.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right? Who knows what's going to happen there? And then they promote, like, the clock management guy to be the head coach. Because the D coordinator is smart enough to turn it down. She doesn't want to be attached to this. Like, if the Chiefs can't win this game somewhat convincingly, I almost wonder if there's inside gambling on the game. Like, Randy Gregory's not playing because he couldn't stop punching people after the game. So he's suspended. It's just a mess. That team's got to be the worst long-term situation in football. The Cardinals have a decent argument, but I think the Broncos have trumped. And then, did you see yesterday, Zach Stevens, who covers the Broncos, does a good job. He tweeted out, I guess he was at the media scrum, that Russell Wilson said for Wednesday that, hey, you know, felt like he had a really good practice because they felt like it was time to step up. Time to step up? You're 4-11. Right. Time to step up 2 months ago.
Yeah,
the floor. Just another Russ moment to stack onto this year of hell for Denver.
Yeah, it's bad. And in the Denver, I think they also fired their offensive line coach and their special teams coach.
Yes.
So lots of changes there. But additionally, over elsewhere in the AFC West, the Raiders have benched Derek Carr, and I actually think it's almost two sides of the same coin here. Nathaniel Hackett's not a good football coach. He was not good this year, made a lot of boneheaded decisions. But you've got to give at least 40 or 50% of his firing over to Russell Wilson, who's terrible, right?
Yeah.
Right. Over in Las Vegas, can never remember where the hell those guys play anymore. They've benched Derek Carr. He's done. He's done in Las Vegas. He's left the team. Yeah. He's not even going to be around because he doesn't want to be a distraction. And a lot of Raiders fans that I've been seeing on Twitter are like, they're mad because they're like, this is Josh McDaniels. He sucks. Derek is fine. I mean, I don't think any of them think he's Patrick Mahomes, but like, they're like, we were in the playoffs last year. We got Devontae Adams. How in God's name did this happen? And they're blaming the head coach. I'm interested to hear your take on that. And where do you think Derek Carr is going to play next season?
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com /arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So this is really interesting. So I wrote a column, like a reaction column, right after this happened. And my column basically just eviscerated Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. Because to me, Carr's a slightly above average quarterback. Like he's a solid quarterback.
Top 13, he's been, 15.
Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah. Like, and he's been the only stable part of that franchise for 9 years. And they went out this year and brought Davante Adams and screamed as much as they possibly could have behind closed doors and in front of them that they're going to be this contender in the AFC. They're going to be right there because they added Davante Adams. Well, nobody looked in the garage and saw the defense, which other than Max Crosby is a massive tire fire. And McDaniels, who's never done a damn thing ever without Tom Brady, gets a head coaching job. And it's looking like a lot like what it looked like in Denver when Cutler got run out of town and Brandon Marshall got run out of town and they can't win a game. And now this is all Derek Carr's fault somehow. Like, I'm not saying Carr's played particularly well this year. He struggled. But last year, Derek Carr's over 4,800 yards and led that team through one of the most dysfunctional years you'll ever see in your life to the playoffs. And now he's the problem? Good luck with that. If I'm Derek Carr, by the way, as a no-trade clause, I'm saying, screw you, release me. I don't care. I'm not going to accept any trade. Cut me. And if he does that, they are royally screwed. Like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of connections. You know, Jeff Howe, The Athletic, he was writing about, you know, Tom Brady's a logical fit there. Look, I'll go on the record with this, and if I'm wrong, I will eat the biggest pile of crow in the world. If they bring in Tom Brady at 46 years old, that is going to be the biggest nothing burger on the face of the earth. He's surrounded by a team that I would argue, despite how bad Tampa's been this year, is better than what the Raiders would put around him right now. They can't win a game. They're in the worst division of football. They're under 500. And now you're going to bring him to Vegas in a division where even with him, they are unquestionably the third best team in the division. And what would he be in the conference at this point? As great as Brady is, would he be the fifth, sixth best quarterback in the conference?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, if you're going to move on from Carr, get somebody young. But I think, look, the Jets make a lot of sense. I mean, the Colts, it just screams Colts, doesn't it? I mean, that seems like, of course you would go to the Colts.
The Colts are the 90s Chiefs.
Yes, they are. Just constantly cycling through these guys who are going to be there for 2 years. The Commanders are interesting. What about the Giants? Like, if they moved off Daniel Jones, he'd be interesting with the Giants. There's a lot. I mean, the Bucks, if you replace Brady, you know, the Saints are interesting. The Saints have no money. Like, I don't know how the hell the Saints would make it work financially. And then the other one, which has been brought up around league circles, you ask people, like, give me your top five. Miami's interesting in a sad way. I don't know what's going to happen with Tua.
Right.
I mean, there, and I'm not like reporting this, but there's, you know, murmurs like, is he going to play again? Like, is he going to play football again? If he doesn't play football again, they are going to need a quarterback, obviously. I mean, Carr would make plenty of sense there. So, look, he's going to have his options. He's a talented player. He's going to be 32 this offseason. Carr's going to get plenty of offers. And you know, if he hits free agency, and if not, the Raiders are going to get offers. I asked one high-ranking personnel executive, if he gets traded, where do you think, you know, what do you think the package would be? And I was told something like what Carson Wentz got for Philly, a first and a third.
That seems fair. That's a great breakdown. Thanks for that. Yeah, it's very interesting. It really just screams to how inept the Raiders have been as a franchise over the years, that they have a halfway decent quarterback, couldn't really do anything with it, go and get a guy like Davante Adams, and then ruin the whole thing in a year. And this stunt that they're like basically choosing McDaniels over Derek Carr is just insane to me. And you know what? They're going to pay for it. I reckon he's going to force a trade, right? Like, if they don't cut him, they're going to want to get something for him. And so they're going to have to trade him into a place he wants to go, or they're going to get nothing. So that's probably the eventual outcome here.
I cannot say how like unbelievably disrespectful I think it is the way they've handled this whole thing. Look, you want to move on from him, that's fine. Like, you have every right to do that. You tell this guy to go home so it's not a distraction, and you don't even give him, like, the Raiders players, I was reading quotes, they found out because he wasn't in a meeting. Like, nobody said anything. He didn't have a moment to address the team. The guy's been there 9 years. You didn't let him address the team.
Right.
You didn't let him stand up there and shake hands with some guys. And like, say whatever you want about Derek Carr. I got a lot of respect for him. That guy has been put in one shit situation after the next for the better part of a decade. And he's never tucked tail. He's always stood in front of the media and talked. He's never blamed the organization. He's never blamed his teammates when God knows he could have and would have been right to do it. That guy has been – I know it's a weird thing to say about a guy who's never won a playoff game. That guy's a winner to me. Like, he's the kind of guy you want in a room. Now, listen, is he a top 10 quarterback? No. He's top 15, I believe. He's going to be somebody's Alex Smith next year. He's going to go somewhere – and he's going to stay. Like, if I'm the Jets, I take him in a heartbeat. He will get them to where they can win 10 and 11 games. He will stabilize that organization. And then they can, in a couple of years, try to go find their Mahomes. Now, obviously, that's harder, you know, to do than just saying it and wishing it. But the other part is, real quick, if I'm a Raiders fan and they decide to draft a quarterback, like, normally your team drafts a quarterback early and, like, there's all this excitement and hope. I can't express the amount of sheer terror I would have as a Raiders fan with them drafting a young quarterback. Like, that team has been a train wreck for years on end drafting in the first round. I can't even imagine the fear of watching Josh McDaniels turn that pick in. Oh, my God. Like, at least with Carr, you know you have a quarterback who can play. Right. You could get a good quarterback. You could get J.P. Losman. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, it's not good, man. And just the whole stunt anyway. Like, we want to evaluate Stidham. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, what are you even doing? Just play out the rest of the season with Derek Carr. If you want to move on from him, you know, like, you're not attracting. Like, this is not a move that's going to attract players. Like, that, you know, if there was a free agent, like, oh, I want to come to play for the Raiders. And you know that this, like, Stidham's not going to come in. And if that's the reason they're doing it, If Josh McDaniels is like, I really want to get a look at this kid in live game action, you should just fire him now.
Well, look, they're doing this because they don't want Carr to get hurt so they can move off, because otherwise he has injury guarantees in his contract. Yeah. Which, like, I get it. But then just be an adult about it. And be like, look, we're doing this. It is what it is. Like, it's in the best interest of the organization. We explained it to Derek, so on and so forth. That organization is a clown car. Okay. Yeah. And I remember when everybody this offseason, including people who showed up in our podcast, were like, hey, Chiefs are going to finish third in the West this year. Chiefs are going to finish. How's that going? The Broncos are the biggest disaster in the sport. And that's not an ounce of hyperbole to it. The Raiders, good luck to you. The Chargers are the only team worth the damn. The only team worth the damn in the whole division. So I can't say. And the Chiefs still won this division almost by the start of December. So that's where you're at. By the way, thank you to the Super Chats. Zach16, thank you a lot, man. Says, I hope the Chiefs don't play out of the competition against Denver. Need to build on that defensive performance last week. Zach, we're actually going to talk about that, so hang with us. And Bumpa, thank you a lot, man. Chance Chance Devontae Adams leaves if Carr leaves, their friend. Look, I'll tell you right now, I bet he's pretty pissed about it. But that's not going over too well for Devontae Adams. Now, do I think he's going to leave? It's going to be really hard to move him. Like, his contract's enormous. So that's not easy. And it depends. If they bring in Tom Brady, he's probably going to be fine with it. If they bring in, you know, some rookie who can't play, yeah, he's going to be furious. But you know what? Devontae Adams was the one who wanted this. You wanted to go there, man. You tried to push your way out. You got what you wanted. Like, that's the risk you take. And he took, and he got paid for it. He got paid incredibly well and deservedly so. But, you know, this is one thing with the Chiefs I will never take for granted, especially having lived through some of the more dysfunctional years with this team. I never have to think as a Chiefs fan, like, is Clark Hunt functioning? Is Brett Veach functioning? They may do something you disagree with, you don't like, but, like, there's a reason for it. It's handled professionally. It's not just a clown car, to use the term again, where you're like, I have no idea why they're doing this, what they're doing, what's going into this. Like, there's at least a method. Now, you may not like it, but there's a method.
It really is. I'll say, you know, hats off to Clark and the way that the Chiefs are run. You know, even when things were a mess with Todd Haley and Scott Pioli and that whole thing was going down, do you remember how they handled that after they let go of Todd? Scott Pioli stayed on. I think that Clark Hunt had a lot of respect for Scott Pioli, and he knew that he needed to move on. But I remember Scott stayed on until – and he actually went to the interview with Andy, and then he eventually exited. But they kind of kept him on. I don't know exactly the reasoning for it, but it was a really professional transition, and it worked out well for Scott, and it worked out well for Andy and the Chiefs. And so I think it sends a message when you handle your business that way. Other people are going to want to come and work for your organization. Coaches hear about that. Players hear about that. And they know they're not going to some sort of clown car like you've got in Cleveland or in Vegas. So that's good news. But let's talk some Chiefs here. Okay. This game, you know, obviously Nathaniel Hackett is gone from the Broncos. And shout out to Will for the super chat. Says, English fan going to Arrowhead for the first time this week. Flying from Albany to Kansas City Saturday morning. Can't effing wait. Can someone adopt me for a tailgate? Chiefs by 30 over Denver. Hey, you guys, there's like over 200 of you watching right now on YouTube. Connect with Will. If you're going to be there, if you've got a tailgate. Look, Will, even if you don't meet somebody here in this chat, I guarantee you.
Walk around, they'll feed you.
Yeah, just walk around, introduce yourself. You know, say, hey, man, I'm from England. I'm a Chiefs fan. It's my first time here. You will be taken care of. Literally anybody you walk over to at Arrowhead Stadium in the parking lot. Just get there early and go make, you know, bring a case of beer and go make some friends.
Pretty sure Will's also a super follower of mine. So thanks, man. Appreciate you. All your support on like multiple platforms at this point. So you're the man. Look, so before we get into the game, because I got to be honest, I think we all kind of feel the same way about this game, which I think so. Yeah. If the Chiefs can't win these next two games, if they're trying to win these two games, it's a deep concern. I mean, they should absolutely blow the doors off these two games. Now, I don't know if they will. They might win close, whatever. They should win these games. I mean, the Broncos are dead on arrival. And the Raiders, you want to talk about a team that is going to lay down like a dog in that game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, I'm curious. Like, look, this is a huge, huge weekend in the AFC playoff picture. Okay, and in the NFC for that matter, but since we're talking about the Chiefs, the Bills and the Bengals play on Monday Night Football. And I want, you know, I'm sure a lot of you already figured this out, but if you haven't, consider this. If the Chiefs win on Sunday, just on Sunday, forget the Raiders game, one of two scenarios will play itself out come Monday night. It will either be that if the Bengals lose, the Chiefs are guaranteed no worse than a 2 seed. They can still move up to the 1 if the Patriots went and beat Buffalo and Buffalo and the Chiefs beat the Raiders, which is unlikely, but they could do it. But they can't be worse than a 2. If the Bills lose, they could still go to a 3 because if the Bills and the Bengals were to both win Week 18 and the Chiefs were to lose, it could drop down. However, of course, they would enter Week 18 just needing to beat Jared Stidham, and they would be the number 1 seed. So really, if you're the Chiefs, look, obviously you want the Bills to lose, but like, if you win on Sunday, you're good either way. Like, you're either going to get a 2 seed or you're going to be sitting at the number 1 with 1 win needed. The other thing to factor in with this, and this is kind of where I wanted to ask you a question, is so if let's say the Chiefs just beat Denver, right? I think that's a pretty safe assumption. They win the game. If they're not the one seed, they're going to draw the seven seed, barring some disaster in week 18. The Chargers and Ravens, it does not look like, are going to be the seven seed. The Chargers have the Rams and the Broncos left. The Ravens have the Steelers on Sunday night. Now, they may still have Lamar Jackson. It looks like he will be out. But it looks like the seven seed is going to be either Miami, New England, or the Jets. A, do you have any fear of any of those teams? And B, who would you rather see? And is there a team you don't want to see?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like all those teams are even to me because they all have one element that I'd be a little bit concerned about, right? Like with the Dolphins, if they don't have Tua, you've still got two really exciting and dynamic receivers. We've seen ourselves what Tyreek Hill can do to a team. Right. So that would be a concern for me, especially the way the defense is played. With New England, I'm not really worried about New England. It's just the Belichick factor. I could see some weird game plan where he comes out, he slows down. He's had success slowing down Mahomes in the past, and then they run the ball 70 times or something. The Chiefs can't stop them, and they make it nerve-wracking. And then the Jets have a really good secondary. The Jets, I think, would be the team on my list that I would want to play of those three, just because I don't think they've got enough offense. No matter who's starting back there, even if Mike White is starting, I just don't think they have enough offense to keep up with the Chiefs, even though they have a good defense. And Andy Reid would be able to find a way to dink and dunk the ball on a good secondary like that and score. So that'd be, if I had to rank them, I would say the Jets, the Dolphins, and then the Patriots because of Belichick.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs would beat any of them somewhat handily, frankly. The Dolphins to me have just been a disaster the last month. The only thing about the Dolphins, like you mentioned, that scares you is just the receivers. And yeah. Hill having the motivation to go for about 800 yards in that game. But
right.
They have nothing else. They're not good up front. They're terrible defensively. At this point, I don't even care who plays quarterback. They're not good there. The Jets, I respect defensively. The Jets can play defense.
Yeah.
Offensively, I think the Jets are kind of whatever. I just don't think I don't think Mike White is going into Arrowhead and beating Pat Mahomes in a playoff game.
Right.
The Pats are the team I think the Chiefs literally might beat by 35 points. I know Belichick's a great coach. They are the most undisciplined team in football this season. They are a mess. That team looks like they're not coached at all, partially because Matt Patricia is the offensive coordinator for reasons that no one can understand. I could honestly see a stat line in a game like that where Mahomes throws for 350 yards and Mac Jones throws for 60. I think the Chiefs, it's fallen in a way where my biggest concern was seeing the Chargers in the wild card round.
Yeah,
that seemed like a problem. But it looks like the Chiefs are not going to see the Chargers. If the Chargers win against the Rams this weekend, they can't be a seven seed. The Chiefs are very likely going to be a one or a two seed. So there's a chance, a pretty legitimate chance, the Chargers are going to play the Bills or the Bengals in the first round.
Right. So I think that works in the Chiefs' favor.
I'd be great. One of them's gone. Now it could work out that they move up to the five, dependent upon if they play hard. A lot of that depends. Are they going to play hard against Denver week 18, or are they going to use it as a bye? Because if they play hard, they very well might be a five seed. And if that's the case, you're going to play Jacksonville. And on first glance, you're like, oh, I'll beat Jacksonville. Jacksonville beat the piss out of them earlier this year. So yeah. I don't know what to think about that game. And it would be in Jacksonville. And to be fair to the Jags, they've played really well. So, there's a lot of moving parts, but this week ought to set a lot of it. New England's playing Miami. So that's a game where if New England loses, they're cooked. If they win, if New England beats Miami, if New England then goes to Buffalo and somehow wins, New England is in the playoffs. They need no help. If they win, they're in. So that's something to factor in as well.
And you can see it happening.
Oh, you definitely could.
They can, when they can get that running game going, that's their best hope. So it'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out. Would you say that, in your opinion, throw the seven seed out, right? Of the teams that we know will be in the playoffs, are the top four teams in your estimation the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and then the Chargers?
Yeah.
Yes. Who's that fourth team for you?
The Chargers. You could make a case for Jacksonville because of how well they're playing right now. I don't know that we're even going to see Lamar Jackson. I have no idea what's happening. There was a radio show. I don't know if it was out of Baltimore or D.C. I don't want to say Baltimore. That'd be wrong. It was out of the Beltway. And I don't know that this is confirmed. I heard the clip that there's been leaks out of the Ravens camp that Jackson hasn't been going in for treatment on his knee. Just hasn't shown up to it. I have no idea if that's accurate or not. That was just on a radio show. They're talking about it. But he is not – I mean, initially Adam Schefter was like, yeah, he'll be back Christmas Eve. Well, he wasn't back Christmas Eve, and he's still not at practice. And we got one more practice for Pittsburgh. And then they play the Bengals in the season finale, which could very well determine the AFC North. I have no clue if we're going to see him at all again the rest of the year. So, for me – I will say this. I think the top three teams are obviously Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo. I think the Chargers are kind of on their own tier. And then after that, I think there's a pretty good drop-off. Like Jacksonville, Baltimore, all those teams we just talked about in the AFC East. Like if the Chiefs saw any of those teams and they lost to them, they should be ashamed of themselves. In a playoff game, they should kill any of those teams. They'd be at home for all of them. I mean, in some ways, hell, man. There's a world. So let's say I don't want to go too down this rabbit hole because people are – their brains are – they're going to get a headache. If the Ravens lose these next two games, and they could, I mean, they play the Steelers who are somehow still alive and God knows will want to beat them anyway. And they have Tyler Huntley. If they lose to them, then they lose to the Bengals. All you'd need is the Chargers to win one of these last two and the Dolphins to win their last two, both of them, the Ravens would be the seventh seed. And if the Chiefs are two, they'd go to Kansas City. So,
yeah.
I really think if you're the Chiefs, the main thing is you win this weekend. You win this weekend, you handle business, hopefully you get out healthy. Because if you do, you can then sit out on Monday night, feet up, beer in hand, if you're old enough, and Casey beer in hand, and you watch, and either the Bengals lose and you're a top two seed, or the Bengals win, and you need to beat Jared Stidham for a week off in the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to say you can't lose because you're clearly rooting for one side of that, but like yeah. There's at least benefits to both.
Since this is this will be the last show we do this year.
Yes.
I want to ask you the AFC championship game. Mm-hmm. Where is it played and who's in the game?
I think the Bengals are going to beat Buffalo. I think and it's not that I'm like convinced of it or anything. I think the Bills and the Chiefs are extremely similar. And I think the Bengals give teams like the Bills and Chiefs problems because they don't make mistakes. They're patient. The Bills and the Chiefs are not patient. The Bills and the Chiefs want to go 1,000 miles an hour. I don't think the Bills can cover the Bengals. Like the Chiefs, at least, I think corner-wise, I don't think the Bills can do it. I think without Miller there, Burrow's just going to sit in a chair and throw it. So to answer your question, I think the Bengals will win the game. I think the Chiefs are going to end up being the number one seed. I think that also, by the way, means the Bengals would be the two and the Bills would be the three. If I had to put money on it, give me the Chiefs and the Bengals back at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game. That would be, I'm sure, a calm week around here.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know what. God, I mean, just I don't even want to think about the possibility that they could lose two years
in a row. Let me ask you real quick. If you, first of all, I'm curious where you would go with that answer. And secondly, if the Chiefs are the one and the Bills and the Bengals play each other divisional weekend, who do you want to win? Like if you know the Chiefs are going to face one of them in the AFC title game, who would you want to win that game?
Man, it's really tough. I think the Bengals are playing really good football right now. And so that scares me a little bit when I stack that up against the fact that the Chiefs have lost to them three times in a row. So, you know, the fan in me says, bring it on. You know, we're going to get them this time. They're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes four times in a row. I think, though, I would go with the Bengals. The thing about Buffalo that worries me, one, I think their defense is better than Cincinnati's. But two, the Josh Allen running factor, I just think it makes it really hard to defend them because he has that arm, sure. Because they have Stephon Diggs. At least when you're playing the Bengals, you know you know they can run the football with a running back, but you know, like, okay, Burrow's not going to take off. We're not going to have this disadvantage, you know, in defenders versus offensive players. And I think you can, there may be a little bit easier to game plan for, whereas if the play breaks down against Josh Allen, he can still burn you. And we saw it in the AFC divisional game last year, where the Chiefs would do a good job in coverage and he ran for the first down. It was driving me nuts. So I think I would rather play the Bengals. What about you?
I'd rather play the Bills, because I think the Chiefs and the Bills are very similar, as I said earlier. I also think the Bengals have more weapons. I think for the Chiefs, and you can limit Diggs, you can win the game. Now, I get it. Davis went for an ungodly amount of yardage last year. I understand all that. Like, I'm not sitting here saying if they avoid the Bengals, break out the champagne. Like, the Bills can absolutely win the game. Already beat them this year. I said all offseason, I thought the best signing, regardless of the contract, was Von Miller. I thought that move jumped the Bills from a half step behind Kansas City to a half step in front of them. It's the reason I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I do not think the Bills are better than Kansas City without Von Miller. I don't. And I think if the Chiefs saw them in the playoffs, I think you'd see a very similar game from Mahomes that we saw last year. I'm not saying he's going to be as great as he was, you know. I mean, last year, maybe the greatest four-inch I've seen in your life from him. I don't think the Bills can pressure him. I don't think the Bills can get to them. And the one thing with the Bengals give you a lot of looks defensively. You know, Lou Anarumo is a great defensive coordinator. They do a lot of stuff. Leslie Frazier is an excellent coordinator, but they're very basic in what they do. They're not going to blitz. They blitz a little more now without Vaughn. By the way, somebody's asking, is Vaughn coming back? No, he's out for the season. You know, they can do a lot of different things defensively, the Bengals can, that make the Chiefs think. The Bills can't really do – not that I shouldn't say they can't. They don't really do that. The Bills are very much like, this is what we do and this is how we play. Also, the Bills have more turnovers than anybody in football. Outside the Colts, are tied with the Colts with the most turnovers. The Bengals don't turn the ball over. So, to me, the last part of that, too, is the Chiefs just – they beat them. Like, when they play them in big spots, they just find a way to beat them. I totally understand the person who says the Bengals. I get it. And the Chiefs could beat or lose to either one of them. Where do you think the AFC title – I'll ask you the same question. We can preview this game. Where do you think the game's going to be? And who do you think's in it? I mean, you asked me, so back
here. Yeah, I think it's going to be at Arrowhead. I feel the same way that you do. I think Cincinnati's going to take care of Buffalo. And I think the Chiefs are going to host the AFC Championship game. I think they're just – I think as long as they play their best football, they're in the AFC Championship game. And at that point, the team that they play – it's going to be hard to get to the Super Bowl, but we all might feel pretty good depending on who ends up making it out of the NFC if they're actually right. Able to get out in this one, but yeah, I mean, to answer your other question, who do I want to see in the AFC Championship game? Jacksonville. That's why, not the Bills, not the Bengals. Jacksonville would be just fine with me.
You know, also, I will, and we can get to the Broncos game, but I will say this, I like history. Everybody here, I'm sure, knows this at that point. Or at this point, there's going to come a day in about 20 years. Hopefully we've got Mahomes, so he's like 45 years old. But there's going to come a day when we'll look back and, like, as stressful as these games can be, and it's chaotic, and God knows I'm the leader in the clubhouse with that stuff, screaming at the television for 3 hours. Like, playing the Bills, playing the Bengals in these huge games, maybe it'll eventually be the Chargers and the Jags, like, whoever it is. But, like, right now, the Bills and the Bengals are those teams. Like, there's going to be such a satisfaction if the Chiefs are able to win a couple more Super Bowls, because you're going to have earned it. Like, you're not just going to have played a bunch of teams. You're like, well, you know, those teams stunk and rolled through. Like, they really are earning it. And it's something that I think people are really going to, like, look back on and go, man, like, beating Josh Allen, beating a Joe Burrow. Like, these games are just great games. I mean, you know, they've already beaten Allen twice in the playoffs. Obviously, 0-1 with Burrow, but, you know, beating that Niners team in the Super Bowl, that team ended up being a great team. Like, that team ended up, like, I get Garoppolo's average, whatever. That was a great team that the Chiefs went in there and beat. Like, you know, you're going to look back and fire these games up on YouTube in 20 years and be like, man, like, remember that? So, I enjoy it. Like, sure, don't get me wrong. If I could conjure up a scenario where the Chiefs play, like, Miami, Baltimore, and the Jets for the three playoff games, like, I'm all for it. But you're not going to get that scenario. And you know, I hope, like you do, that we're sitting here in a month and it's a cold January Sunday in Arrowhead and they're playing for the fifth straight time to go to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, who the hell? Can you imagine 10 years ago saying that?
Yeah, if I told you that the Chiefs are going to play five straight times to go to the championship game at Arrowhead and they're going to come away with at least one Super Bowl, you would have signed up for that all day, every day.
Got the two, won at least one. Like, I mean, I would have, like, I remember, what? My God. I mean, 7 years ago, they'd won a playoff game since I was 5 years old.
I know.
I mean, it was like they couldn't even win a playoff game. Now, I remember last year before they played Pittsburgh in the playoffs, that 5 years ago would have been horrifying. Like, yep. Oh, my God. How, they played Pittsburgh. Oh, my God. The only question is if they're going to cover the spread. They're going to kill Pittsburgh.
Right.
I mean, that's how much all this has changed. But they've got a task ahead of them, and that's Denver, and they've got to win this game to put themselves in position. Because otherwise, if they don't win that game, my God, are we going to be pissed sitting there watching? Can you imagine if they lose to Denver and then Cincinnati kills Buffalo?
That's like, my nightmare scenario.
Oh, like, my God.
You can guarantee.
Raise it on them.
Yeah. You can guarantee if the Chiefs you can guarantee that if the Chiefs lose, Cincinnati will beat Buffalo. Hell, if I was Buffalo, I might just troll the Chiefs and just sit all my starters so nobody gets hurt against Cincinnati. just to troll the Chiefs.
Oh God. You could just see. But that being said, as we're going to get into here with Denver, I mean, the Chiefs really – I mean, this is teed up about as well as it could be for the Chiefs. It really is.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Now, you mentioned here in the rundown, I saw this stat floating around. Nathaniel Hackett's gone. The Broncos stink. But the last 34 teams to fire coaches in season are 16-8 the next week and 18-16 against the spread. Now, 16-8 is still not great, but you need to think about where a team needs to be to fire its head coach in season.
Yep.
And then they're essentially a 500 team that next week after that.
Right.
You know, are there some advantages here where the Chiefs don't really know, like, it's one of those situations, nothing to lose situation. The guy that's stepping into to the head coaching spot, you know, he's probably not going to get a job off of this, but Romeo Crennel coached the Chiefs and they beat the Packers and then he got a job. So, you know, I mean, if this guy comes in and they beat the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, they win their last two games and all of a sudden Russell Wilson throws for 400 yards in back-to-back games or something like that, they're going to at least give that guy a hard look. And even if it doesn't work out for him in Denver, he's have a chance somewhere else. So it's a kitchen sink game if you're the Broncos. And you've got this element of you don't know what to expect because it's, you know, they're not, I mean, look, they're not going to have a whole new playbook or anything.
Right. They're still garbage.
Yeah. Some of the tendencies might be a little bit different, but the Broncos, they're not good enough. Even if they catch the Chiefs on a couple things, they shouldn't be good enough to win the game. Right.
Correct. Correct. No, they shouldn't be. I mean, right now, look, you know, as you see on the screen, if you're watching, Chiefs favored by 12.5, over under 45. And by the way, those stats are from Ben Heisler, tweeted them at me yesterday. So kudos to Ben, or maybe it was Tuesday. Look, I would say this. Denver might be one of the most cooked teams I've ever seen. Like, I don't know if you watched that game on Christmas. I mean, just laid down like a dog in that game. Just laid down. And I know they fired Hackett, so maybe there's part of it. It's like, well, are they going to come out with some renewed spirit? I think they're just done, man. This has to be in my lifetime one of the most exhausting seasons I've ever seen from a team. Like, just because, you know, a lot of teams that get their coach fired, it's like they're like the Matt Rule Panthers, right? Like, they're not good. He's in his third year. Like, the franchise needs to be shaken up, so they fire the guy. That's not what happened with Denver. Denver, there were people who thought the team was going to go to the Super Bowl. Like, there are real people, real human beings. Okay, I will not say who it was because I actually like this person. I won't say he's a friend, but a nice enough guy for Samuel Sato, who literally before the year tweeted out that Denver was about to become a dynasty because of Hackett and Russell Wilson. A dynasty. I mean, that's where you were with this franchise. What? Not, I was going to say 6 months ago. Not even. 4 months ago. I could be wrong. God knows it wouldn't be the first time. Don't go betting based off my opinion, please. But I just think Denver is so dead in the water right now. I think the Chiefs would have to, frankly, do what they did in Denver, which is turn the ball over a ton and give them a reason to care. Because the other thing about this game is that it's at Arrowhead. You're not going to have the fans behind you. You're not like, who cares? I mean, if you're Denver, what the hell does this game matter to you? I know people say, well, the streak. Most of these guys have been in the streak for two games, three games. They don't care. At home, I could see it more with Denver. This game, I don't know, man. I do not think you're going to get a whole lot of fight out of the Broncos.
Yeah, it sure doesn't seem like it. And it is important, I think, to note, as frustrating as that last game was against the Broncos, and of course, we were live at Tanner's in Kansas City, Kansas. That game should have been over midway through the third quarter. And the only reason it wasn't anything that the Broncos did. It was because Steve Spagnuolo forgot that Jerry Jeudy was on the team and the Chiefs couldn't stop making mistakes, turning the ball over. Right. That game should have, and that was a road game. In this game, if what we saw last week was any indication of the Chiefs starting to get their focus heading into the stretch run, then they're going to be fine. They'll finish what they started in the first half against Denver the last time, I think, and we'll see another blowout here. I mean, do you think they're going to have – you sort of addressed this, but do any of the Broncos have any reason to try to go the extra mile? Are we going to start seeing business decisions from Broncos players in a game like this?
I think you're going to see some business decisions from some of these older guys. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think younger guys, like guys who are going to be free agents, they got to put on good tape. They'll still go out there and they'll do everything they have to do. At the same point, it depends who you are going into free agency. If you're a guy who has nothing to lose because you're maybe a roster bubble type guy, okay. If your guy's going into free agency who's got a name, like you're not getting hurt in these last two games. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm not trying to get hurt if I'm one of these guys. And I see, you know, right. Tom saying this is Denver Super Bowl. Tom, I hear you. I think Denver Super Bowl is when they played them the first time. It's at home. You know, this is just to me now. This is like, oh my God, get us off the field. Like, just get us in the locker room, get us back in the locker room after the fourth quarter.
And let's be honest, this isn't a rivalry anymore.
No, like, it's a murder twice a year.
It's a rivalry for the fans, but we've seen this happen with Pittsburgh and Cleveland and other places. The rivalry in the AFC West right now is the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yep,
and. So, like, Tom, like, when you say things like, you know, it's Denver Super Bowl, I don't think it is because I don't think those players care about Kansas City because they've never beaten them. Whereas the Chargers, if we were playing the Chargers this week and the Chargers weren't in the playoffs, I'd be nervous because I'd be like, those guys, they have beaten the Chiefs. The Chiefs are in their way. You know, there is that extra heat there that we saw with the Steelers and the Ravens, you know, after Cleveland went away. Like, with the Broncos, I just don't think that these players, they're like, yeah, whatever, streak, the Chiefs, division rival. Like, they don't even know what it's like to beat Kansas City.
I mean, literally, has anyone on that roster beat the Chiefs as a member of the Broncos? Has one guy? Like, I think Justin Simmons is probably it. He's probably the only guy. I mean, that's it. I'm almost 100% positive. McManus, I guess you want to count McManus. Like, that'd be it. That's literally it. Now, they've beaten them with other teams, but not with Denver. So,
do you agree with this, Verderim? Elijah says a rivalry doesn't have to be competitive to be a rivalry.
I don't think it – I agree and I don't, Elijah. I think it's – for fans, it doesn't. Like, the Chiefs could beat them the next 100 times. I think fans will still hate their guts. If you're a player, you got to keep in mind a lot of these because they didn't grow up Chiefs fans. You know, they didn't hate Denver. Like, now, it's a divisional game, so I think guys get up before they understand the importance of it. But no, I think there's a – like the Chiefs and the Bills, that's a rivalry. Those two teams – like I think the players can't stand each other in certain portions. I'll tell you right now, the Chiefs have an absolute hatred of Cincinnati because you can't beat them.
Right.
You know, like that's a thing. That, now, the Bengals might say, hey, it's not a rivalry. Kicked your ass three straight times. Fair enough. But I think like that has vim and vigor to it. The Broncos, I think the Chiefs just look at the Broncos like, yeah, they're there. When we're going to beat them twice. And frankly, I think you saw that the first time they played them. I mean, they were up 27 and nothing, and they were on the sideline basically just having like comedy hour. I mean, they just figured out this game's toast. I think as much as that game was infuriating, that game will serve them well this weekend. Because if they get up early on Denver, I'd be very surprised to see them relent the way they did in that last game where Mahomes throws picks. He'd be the first one that he shouldn't have thrown. I think if the Chiefs get up in this game, they're gonna try to bury them as much as they possibly can.
And I think if they do get up, the one thing that part of the reason why the Broncos were able to come back was because Andy and Eric Bieniemy kept calling passes when they should have just been running the ball and they turned the ball over. I would add, like, he should be active for this game. Like, I would give them a heavy dose of Ronald Jones. Like, if you get up early, let Ronald Jones go out there, put some stuff on tape, like, keep Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco healthy. Like, if you're up, I would, you know that. Because you know who's going to be motivated is Rojo. Like, he's going to want to go out there and run some people over, and that's a great way to handle it if you get a lead in this game. We had a question from On the Money. Says he disagrees with you, Matt. He says the Broncos are going to come out higher energy this week because of the coach replacement. They always come out and play harder and sharper. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I understand the thought process that like Denver's going to come out and play their ass off now because they're embarrassed and all this stuff. But, like, again. I'm actually going to look. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs back in 2010. Yeah. So Josh McDaniels got fired in the middle of the season. Okay. He was there for 12 games. He got fired. In fact, his last game was with the Broncos at Arrowhead against Kansas City. And they lost 10-6 to the Chiefs in a game that I'm sure was a barn burner. Thank God I don't remember it. The following week, with a brand new coach, they went to Arizona, who that year was a 5-11 football team, and they got beat by 30 points. Like, I think every team's unto itself. I hear you. Like, I respect the opinion. I just think in this game, Denver has to be exhausted from this season. This season has been nothing but just getting crapped on all year long. All year. They're on primetime constantly. They're getting blown out in primetime. They're an embarrassment. Their fans are booing them like crazy. You know, Russ and all that stuff. And I mean, think about if you were just a player on that team, how exhausted you would be by this point. And you're finally like, man, fuck this. We got two games left. Let's just get in, get out, and go home. Like, I'm not looking to get hurt. I don't want to rehab. If they show up to Kansas City and they play their ass off, it's a really good game. I give them a lot of credit. I just don't see it. I don't. I was one of the people who said when they played Denver earlier this year, I thought that game would be a harder game than people thought because Denver was going to give it everything they had. They were going to show up, want to win at home. The Chiefs always have these weird games against bad teams. I just don't think that, especially because of what happened a couple of weeks ago, how close that game got. I just think Kansas City is going to be like, you know what? Let's bury this effing team and make sure we finish the job. They're not dumb. They know what's going on Monday night. They know, like, I think what we saw against Seattle was perhaps indicative of what might be to come here.
Are you worried? I know these guys, I'm not trying to insult anybody because I know these guys are professionals. But are you worried about the fact that the Chiefs are at home? They're not on the road. They're not in a hotel with, sure, you know, the curfew and stuff. And that this game is New Year's Day.
No, I'm not. I mean, I think these guys, look, they're, I'm not saying, you know, they won't go out and have a drink, but can you imagine, like, if you're a player, you know, man, like if you're Travis Kelce, if you're Patrick Mahomes, like, can you imagine, like, you show up in a camera phone, like 8 hours for game time out at a bar?
Right.
I don't think, you know, that's going to happen. I definitely understand where you're coming from. But no, I think most of those guys, like, there may be a couple of guys, there may be a couple of young guys who are like, ah, whatever, you know, go ahead. But I think most guys are going to be like, you know what, let's focus, let's win the game. But I did think about it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it.
Yeah, you know, if this game was in Denver, I'd actually feel really good about it because I'd be like the Broncos player. You know, the Broncos players, they, the hell with it. You know, they go out and have a good time, have five glasses of wine, but right, they'll be at the hotel. So it's probably unlikely that they're going to be out on the, you know, out drinking in Kansas City. All right. So do you think you've already sort of said it? Will the Chiefs come out and play like they did last week? Take care of the football. No turnovers on offense for only the third time, by the way. Can they continue to get pressure with four?
So I think they can get pressure with four. I mean, to be fair, the last time they saw Denver, they lit them up for six sacks. The Chiefs were all over Wilson. We'll get to how bad that line is here in a second. I think they'll get pressure. I think that the turnover thing, you would think Mahomes is going to be very aware of that after what happened in Denver. This part I don't think is going to enter his consciousness. I really don't think he will think about this during the game. If he has one more really good game, he's the MVP of the league.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think he's already pretty much the MVP of the league. But if he goes out there and he throws for 300-plus and three or four touchdowns in this game, he doesn't throw a pick, I mean, what is the argument? Like, well, I mean, there's no argument. By the way, we're to the point now where people are, like, desperately trying to be like, it's Justin Jefferson. Like, no, it's not.
Right.
Stop. Yeah. Like, just give it up. So, I think during the course of the week, he's probably thought about that a few times. But I do think I think the bigger part of it is he's probably thinking to himself, like, I gave them three gifts in that game. I'm not doing that again. I expect him to play well. I don't know if they'll play a completely clean game. They might have like a fumble or maybe he throws one pick or something, but I expect the Chiefs, after what we saw against Seattle, to kind of build off that. It looked like a team that finally was like, all right, we got to get ready for the playoffs. Right. They didn't – I don't want to say they didn't pull Seattle off. They beat them by 21 points for the game, garbage time touchdown. But, like, that was the most – I'm trying to think the right word for this. That was the happiest I've been with them in a long time.
Yep.
That game was just an efficient, ruthless killing. It wasn't a light show. Mahomes didn't throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns, but like they just play after play, executed and dominated the game against a team that's decent, not a great team, but a decent playoff caliber type team. And they went out and just took them apart at the joints for 3 hours. And like, if they play like that, they are probably going very deep in the playoffs and potentially winning the Super Bowl.
So let's get to it here. I mean, the Broncos, as you've noted here in the rundown, are cooked. They're missing a host of key guys. The Chiefs have a lot to play for. If they win, they're either clinching the number two seed or possibly a chance at the one seed in week 18 if Buffalo loses. Offensively, Denver has been terrible all year, 27th in yards per play. They've allowed 57 sacks, which is 32nd in the NFL. 19th in yards per attempt, 32nd on third down, 23rd in the red zone, 29th in yards, and 32nd in points per drive, except for when they're playing the Chiefs. So I guess when facing this offense, what are the learnings for Steve Spagnuolo in the defense after sort of allowing Denver to put up like, you know, season high numbers against his defense last year or the last game?
I would like to think the defense would be pretty motivated after what happened in Denver. I mean, listen, I know, you know, you get these people who are like, well, they turned the ball over three times. Okay, that's fine. That doesn't mean they got to let them go down and score. I mean, it doesn't mean they got to let them go down and score touchdowns, especially when two of those picks were like 60 yards away from the end zone. I would expect that the Chiefs would have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder for that game. And also, for the love of all that is holy, I know Sutton's going to play in this game, so you're going to have Sutton and Judy, although Judy's been limited the first 2 days with a hamstring injury. If the Chiefs aren't trying to take away those receivers, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's nothing else, man. They can't run the ball. They are brutal in every offensive category. Every single one of them. Most sacks against in the league, right at the bottom of the league in red zone, and third down. They're worse in the league in third down. They're at 28%. The Chiefs are literally almost double Denver on third down. Yards per play, yards per carry. I mean, Denver is atrocious. I would think after the way that game went against them the last time, the Chiefs would like to come out and make a statement in this game. And say whatever you want about Hackett. Like, I get it. Like, he's terrible. No one's arguing he should be there still. He was their offensive play caller. Like, I have no idea who the hell – like, they're bringing in, like, a clock manager to be the head coach now, and now they fired their offensive line coach. Like, who the hell is running this offense? Like, look, that team is amazing. Is it Russ? Is he just going to –
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, Mr. Unlimited is running.
I want to see – you know, Russ, show me something. I want to see him on the sideline with when there's like between 20 and 40 seconds on the clock. I want to see him with a headset on. And then I want to see him charge out onto the field as though he's taking the field of battle. And he calls the play and then runs it. And then immediately runs back to the sideline, gets another call, relays it into the team. And we go like that all game.
Puts the headset on and relays the play to himself.
Yes, I want. Yeah. Yes, I want. I want to see him converse with himself, have a disagreement, maybe occasionally have to call timeout.
Get frustrated with himself, throwing his hands up in the air.
And then after a good play, like they get a touchdown, come off and like make sure he high fives himself for that play call. Right. Like, I just want to see the whole thing. At this point, it is what it is. Let's just let it all happen. I feel like this is a game where as Chiefs fans, we're always conditioned to be like, oh, this could be a real problem. This could be. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not saying it couldn't be. Like, any game. Hell, they almost lost to the Texans. They should kill this team in this spot. They are at home. They are playing to try to get to the one seed. Bare minimum the two. Denver is a tire fire. Like, this game really... Two of the last 3 weeks, Denver's been a mess defensively. The only game they've been good against was Trace McSorley and the Cardinals. I mean, it's just... This is the kind of game, if the Chiefs show up and they execute, they're going to smoke Denver. But they've got to do it.
And, you know, the storyline heading into the last game when these teams played was, all right, you know, the Broncos stink. They can't score. But the offense is pretty good in the red zone. Well, they weren't against the Rams. The Rams have gotten a jolt with Baker Mayfield stepping in. Yes. Which credit to Baker Mayfield, who didn't even know the playbook. Came in and beat the Raiders and now has led them to another victory.
Somehow Derek Carr's fault.
The game on Christmas Day, the Broncos were down 17-0 before they finally scored on a Brandon McManus 54-yard field goal at the end of the half. And then from there, the rout was on. They lost 51-14. They were down 34-6 by the 31-6 at the half, 34-6 entering the fourth. And this is a Rams offense that is without Cooper Kupp, has a quarterback who's been there for 15 minutes, has not had a running game to speak of. Nobody could run the football over there. Cam Akers, who everybody thought was washed after his Achilles injury, ran 23 times for 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. Their tight end, Tyler Higbee, he's a good player. He's average tight end, right? 9 receptions for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns against this Denver defense. Now, Jerry Jeudy did do his thing, 6 receptions for 117 yards, not that it mattered, and Wilson threw 3 interceptions. So is this defense, is that game an indication that the defense that played hard all year is like, yeah, fuck it, we're done?
I tend to think it is. I really do. Like, I'm not just saying that because it would benefit Kansas City. I just really feel that way. Like, I think Denver is just to a point. Like, how long can you put up with this crap? And it's not just a losing. It's not teams lose all the time. It's how this season has gone. Hackett's been so embarrassing. Russell Wilson, I mean, you could do a 30-for-30 on this season on what a crap show this has been. You know, I always try to put myself in the position of a player or a coach. And obviously, you know, sorry. I mean, I didn't play in the NFL. I didn't coach in the NFL. But I talk to people who do. Like, I would imagine you get on that plane to Kansas City on Saturday and you're like, I just want to get this over with and come home. This game, we are 4-11. We don't even have a head coach anymore. Our quarterback is busy doing calisthenics in the aisle. I can't take this shit anymore. I just want to get to Kansas City, drink the ocean on New Year's Eve, and then go to this game. And I don't give a shit. I don't care if we win, lose, get beat by 30. And I know there are people who are like, oh, personal pride. And there will be those guys. There will be those guys who are just like, this is my job, and I'm proud of it. And you're going to have guys who are young guys who are free agents who are going to go out there and they're going to give everything they've got. But, man, I just think there's going to be a lot of guys in this team who are like, I do not care. Get me out of here. I don't want to be part of it. Like, you're not even really playing spoiler. It's not like you're keeping the Chiefs out of the playoffs.
Right.
Well, they won the division. I mean, it's not like, yeah, it would hurt their seeding, but like, it's not like it's one of these things like, hey, if we beat them, they don't make the playoffs. Like, then, okay, I can kind of see it. You think Denver's rallying cry as they're crossing over Nebraska is going to be like, that's it, hold them to the two seed. Like,
right.
What is their motivation for this game other than literally pride, which I think went out the window when they were getting their ass beat on Christmas?
What do you think the odds are that at midnight on New Year's Eve, Russell Wilson knocks on every player's door to wish them a happy new year? Like, isn't that something if you saw that, like, from a credible reporter,
you'd 100% believe it.
You'd believe it, right? That's he's going around, happy new year, let's ride. You know, he wants them all to get up early to get ready for the start visualizing the game.
pack them all into one hotel room, watch the ball drop. Right. Russell Wilson just sobbing, watching the ball drop. Yeah, it's just, you know. Man, at this point, I believe anything. You know how many times, like, the one big rule of Twitter, other than don't get yourself fired, is like, try not to get got by like accounts that are out there to just kind of say gotcha. You know how many times I have double and triple checked a tweet about Russell Wilson and the Broncos this year to make sure it's a real thing?
Right.
It's got to be 3 dozen times. Like, there have been so many times I'm like, there's no way. And I click on it, and it's like Adam Schefter, 7.8 million followers. I'm like, God, it's real. Okay. And like the high knees thing was the all time moment of that.
Incredible.
When he started, I was like, there's no way this is a real thing. And then like one report after the next starts coming out about it, and you're like, my God, man.
Yeah. I read a report about him trying not to poop. And I believed it. Yeah.
He's not number two.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, let's just get to it here. Let's get to our final score predictions here. I'll kick us off this time. I've got this one: Chiefs 37, Broncos 17. Again, I think the Chiefs take care of business and finish the blowout that they should have had the first time these teams played. I'm a little bit annoyed that I still have the Broncos scoring 17 points, but I just still want to see more from this Chiefs defense in terms of consistency. And can they stop Jerry Jeudy this time? And can they not give up some deep plays? And we'll see. Hopefully they only give up 12 points, but that's my score. How about you?
I don't have it in front of me because I closed out the outline like a minute ago. I think.
Oh, I've got it.
I also pick them to score 37?
I have them 31-17. You have them 37-13.
Okay. So you read a combination of our two scores then. Because you said 37-17.
Oh, did I? Yeah, no, sorry. 31-17. That's my prediction.
I think he's 37-13. That's what I thought. I was like, wow, we both picked him to score 37 points. I think about mid. And listen, God knows, we could be sitting here doing the halftime show, and I might be like in need of an ambulance. Okay, but I could see this very much being a game where, unlike last time, where they were up 27-0 and they just completely let them back in the game. I can see this being like 20-3 at halftime. And one of those things where you're like, oh, this is all kinds of over. Like, I think Denver is just going to kind of lay down on this thing. The other part of it is too, I think the key to this game is getting up early on them. Because if you let them hang around, then it becomes like, what the hell, we're here. Might as well try to win. If the Chiefs get up on them 14-0, I think they'll just go right in the tank. And this time, unlike last time, because of what happened, I think the Chiefs will be like, all right, we're not going to just take it for granted. We'll bury them. I just can't see it, man. You could sell me on a case with Denver covers or something. Like, maybe it's like 30-20 or something like that. I just can't. Like, unless the Chiefs just donate the football game, I just cannot see them losing to this team. I can't.
Yeah. Denver's 3-10. There's a reason for it.
4-11. Let's cut them short.
That's right. That's right. They are 4-11. I was looking at the box score from the last time they played. All right, everybody. Listen, we got to get out of here. We got to start getting ready for our New Year's. Listen, Vertaram, I'm not going to be on the show on Sunday. We've got
like, you're going to be hungover?
No. Well, maybe. But my old man, tomorrow is his birthday. He's turning 65. He's retiring. Nice. He's coming out to the house. We're having the whole family over, Mag's side of the family. I'm making dinner for everybody. So I'm going to watch the game And hopefully the Chiefs don't ruin my evening. And then I'm going to be serving up food to everybody while you all are doing the post-game show. So this is the first post-game show I've not been on since the divisional game last year against the Bills, where I was actually at the game. And I actually made an appearance on that show from the parking lot.
You showed up from the parking lot.
Yeah. So I'll miss you guys. I know you guys will hold it down and have a great show, but I'll be sorry not to to be there for it. Maybe I'll hop in during the halftime show. We'll see how it's going.
Whatever. I will be here. And then we've got the game Monday, which will be interesting. My parents are actually coming out that Monday. So maybe next Thursday to wrap up the season, maybe I'll have the old man come on and you can just make an appearance.
Nice.
On the podcast. So
yeah,
we'll be here. But yeah, listen, happy new year to everybody. Stay safe. Enjoy it. Can I 30 seconds. Can I have one big grievance I have at the Midwest when it comes to New Year's Eve?
Yeah, do it. Oh, is it the Chicago show?
No, not a good show about that. It's the fact, like, nowadays I got two kids, I'm completely washed up. Like, I'll be up for midnight, but, like, I'm not going to care. But when I used to go out with my wife in Chicago, and we'd go out and have a good time, like, it kills me that they dropped the ball at 11 o'clock Central Time, and all these people in Chicago would be, like, counting down the ball drop. I'm like, it's fucking 11 o'clock out here. This is the most anticlimactic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Because they air the New York City one, right?
Yes, and I'm of course from New York. So for me, like, I always grew up like when the ball dropped, it was actually your New Year. Here, it's like, hey, happy 11 o'clock. And like the ball drops and everybody's, you know, blowing the stupid, you know, those little party favor things. And
yeah,
it's like, it cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? Like Chicago or a big city, Kansas City, whatever, like somebody in the Central Time Zone needs to step up and be accountable and drop their own damn ball.
They have a show. I was just complaining about this to Mag last night because I like you, grew up on the East Coast time. And so they'll run the New Year's Eve thing live in Chicago at 11. And then they'll replay it. It like starts over. But there's also a local Chicago thing. Now, Chicago it's the third biggest, maybe it's dropped to fourth, but it's you know, third biggest, traditionally been the third biggest city in the nation. They have their own time zone. I agree with you on this. How do they not have like a marquee style ball drop show like they have out in New York? If you watch the Chicago one, it's the most embarrassing. It's like in a ballroom on the news. Like the new local, it's like the local news people, and they get some like B and C list celebrities to show up. Yeah, it's horrible. Right. It's so boring. I don't understand why they don't have like, you know, out on Michigan Avenue somewhere or in Millennium Park, a huge thing.
It kills me to know it. Like living out here, I'm so used to seeing, again, so used to seeing the ball drop and everybody's at the party in New York. It's like, all right, hey, you know, happy New Year. And out here, they drop the ball and you're like, awesome. Still waiting another damn hour. What are we doing?
Right.
Like, you want to, like what, the Central Time Zone needs to stand up for itself.
Yeah,
needs to stand up for itself. An angry, drunken German, which is hilarious. It's just meh. Some people just love to complain. I'm assuming you're talking about us right now. Listen, you're not wrong. At the same point, I don't understand it. Like, there's certain things. It's like, has no one seized this opportunity?
Right.
Like, has no one, like, if I was a town in, like, the middle of Iowa, I'd be like, this is our moment, boys. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to hire a crane. And we're gonna slowly drop the damn ball. Like, we're going to take front and center here. Like,
many things. They could have a giant hot dog slide into a bun, you know.
that could lead to some gifts that are
unfortunate. That sounded a little dirtier than I thought, but I mean,
drop a thing of corn down. Yeah, Midwest corn. Known for its corn.
Yeah, okay,
right,
like you take the
there it is. Happy New Year, you know. All I'm saying, I love the Midwest. I grew up on the East Coast, but I've obviously made my home here. I love it. I hope we can get back out to Kansas City soon so I can gain another 5 pounds, and I'm going to need new jeans. But It's worth it. I'll just buy some maternity pants and really get after it. I just want to get more of the barbecue. I came back the other day, and somebody brought barbecue to one of the Christmas parties I was at. I actually wanted to hold a eulogy for this poor animal that they killed and then burnt to death. The thing was just, it was no flavor. There was not an ounce of juice left in this thing.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So I love the Midwest, but the New Year's Eve in the Midwest is a tragedy.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So got work to do. All right, everybody. We will see you on Sunday. No pregame show. We'll have the Chiefs halftime show, and the guys will be there for the Chiefs postgame show. I believe Sterling will be there with Matt. And then we'll see you after that. Maybe we'll do something special on Monday if the Chiefs get the number one seed. Maybe we'll just hop on and do 15 minutes. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Chiefs got to take care of business against the Broncos. Happy New Year to all of you. Really enjoy yourself. Don't remember, New Year's Eve is amateur hour. Just remember that. Whatever you do, remember you don't want to be one of the ones that's amateur hour.
You don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy. John F's Matt. He says, you know what pisses me off? Complainers. Always whining, sniveling, wow, wow, wow. I get sick and tired of it. Quit your whining, complainers. I'm sick of it. Sick and tired. Shut the fuck up, whiners.
John. I appreciate your support. You need to know at this point that it's coming. Like at some point I'm going to have a gripe about something. And if I don't, then know that I've been heavily medicated.
We're staying on brand, John. We're staying on brand.
John, it's got to happen. But yes, don't look, weddings, bars at 2 a.m., New Year's. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the person that everybody else in the bar is like, man, I'm pretty messed up, but I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
You know, they see that guy like in the corner and he's just kind of slumped over, but he's still holding on to that, like that solo cup of like, Bud Light, you know?
Every once in a while he comes to and takes a sip.
Kind of like when they play a new song and the volume jumps, kind of like just staggers back and, then just kind of like slinks back into the corner. Just a silent angel of death is starting to take over. Don't be that person. So go have fun, but don't have as much fun as that guy. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week or this weekend. Do us a favor, hit the like button on your way out. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts, and we will read it on the show. For Matt Verderam, my name is Patrick Allen. Also for producer Hunter, who's helping us out tonight. We'll see you guys later. But as always, go Chiefs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.